Moving on to item 11, Mr. Briggs, enforcement report.
Right, this is our usual enforcement report with, on the first page there, we have notices of violation that are listed. We have a little discussion of some sewage spills that were more numerous in number during some fairly intense storms that we had recently. And then we follow that with our table, which has the violations out of another database called CWIX. And additionally, I point out that the enforcement staff have issued EPLs, I'm trying to remember the expedited payment letters, EPLs, for 7 facilities. And these are the same tool that the Office of Enforcement, I guess, initiated to try to resolve a backlog in mandatory minimum penalties that existed in other regions in the state. We were pretty up to date. But it's basically a more streamlined process since mandatory minimum penalties tend to be pretty cut and dried to say, here's what our records say you owe, and offering them to just go ahead and pay up, and also informs them that there's the opportunity for supplemental environmental projects. The 7 facilities, just real quickly, are the City of Lompoc, the City of Santa Barbara, El Estero Treatment Plant, City of Paso Robles, the ConocoPhillips Santa Maria Refinery, the Avila Community Services District, California Men's Colony, and the City of San Luis Obispo. And then last thing I'll mention is that I provided a supplemental sheet, which I think is in yellow today, and that has the section out of the enforcement policy that defines the classes of violations. We refer to, in the table, we refer to several different classes of violations, or in several instances we refer to them, and we didn't have an explanation of what those violations are, so provided that for you. And we'll try to answer any questions that you have.
Well, Mr. Chair, I've expressed concerns about the Department of Corrections. Historically, even with all their upgrades, for the 15 years I've been sitting on this board, we always have numerous problems with the correction facility. Is there ever going to be any type of fix that's going to correct that?
Mr. Briggs?
I guess Ron Harvey's going to answer the question.
Hi, Harvey Packard again. I can try to answer that. I don't have the exact dates or details, but I do understand that CMC has been granted budget authority to install ultraviolet disinfection to replace the chlorine disinfection. So that will help their several of those violations that you see there, reduce the salts in their effluent. It will reduce the trihalomethanes, and it'll improve the disinfection. So, and I believe, David, I don't see him, but I believe that's scheduled for next year. But they did get money. That was a big hang up, getting money through the state budget.
And while you're there, can you give me some information on the Pasadena issue?
That's one where we did it, I think it was in Watsonville, where we promised to come back with some information, and we'd like to take a little more time to do that.
Okay.
I'm patient. We'd like to have a larger discussion than just Pasadena, because it's an issue that involves a lot of our facilities, the excess salts and the problems that it has. So
okay.
We're going to have a write-up in a future agenda, and we'll get into that.
Thank you.
I've got a question. In the notices of violation, I see that there's 2 that were sent out involving stormwater management programs. Is there anything you can share with us regarding the problems that staff is picking up? Is this through the review of their annual reports?
I don't know anything specifically about these 2. I do have copies of letters that we can look at, but I would assume that these are violations that were discovered during our review of their annual reports.
Well, the Santa Barbara
That one I have seen, so.
That one you've seen?
Right.
And you know that that's fairly extensive?
Yes.
And that was an audit?
Right.
So that's why it's more extensive, and just asked John Orbar, our staffer, assigned to that, if he was able to follow through with the follow-up meeting, and he did have that session on January 31st, I believe it was, and it went well. So we're proceeding with the plan that you were aware of as far as following up on that notice of violation. I'm not familiar with what the story is with the city of Hollister.
I was just going to ask you.
And are Lisa or Phil here? I saw Lisa earlier. Maybe we can catch her later. And
okay. I'd like
ask
to get
about
an update on their program.
Okay.
All right. Any other board comments or questions with respect to item number 11? Okay. Harvey, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And I don't think we have any speaker cards, do we, Mr. Brent?
No.
Okay. We do have one.
Do we have anybody
we
from Hollis?
We don't.
He does.
Is this on this item?
It is.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I wanted to speak to the enforcement matter in the context of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And in my professional capacity as a land planner, I've taken an increasing interest in the community of Oceano. And as your board knows, the San District serves the communities of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. You may have read about the storm event of December 19th and how the flooding precipitated a failure of that facility. It's a very complex matter that includes, very deep problems internally and externally. I think it's a matter that requires your board's and staff's attention. And perhaps an inordinate amount of attention given the complexity of the matter. Unfortunately, I didn't see or hear anybody from the San District speaking to your board, and I was hoping they would be here. There's been a lot written about what happened and, again, all the circumstances. And, I would ask your board and staff to take a more a proactive approach. There's a question about the real numbers of the sewage release. We've heard anywhere from 110,000 gallons to 3 million gallons. So there's a big discrepancy there. Additionally, why did this happen, and what are the internal and external factors that precipitated the failure? What was the source of the water that literally flooded the entire sanitation district site? In closing, I just like to ask your board again to involve itself. I was noting that your CWEX table doesn't include through December, so that whole event is not reported. And I know there's been a number of reports submitted to staff, and I'd hope that they would be made available to the public as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mr. Briggs.
We do have the incident reported. It's in the narrative part. The table does just cover a specified period of time. However, more recent information regarding those events starts on the bottom of the first page and goes over the second page, including the wide range of spill estimates, as Mr. Edwards referred to. However, since there is a potential for further enforcement action on any of these cases, it would be appropriate for the enforcement staff to bring items to the board, and it's not appropriate for the board to be deliberating on that at this time.
But the question I do have about a number of these is that, I mean, this is pretty amazing. The flow rate of the plant exceeded 7.4 million gallons per day. Normal flows are about 2 to 3 million gallons a day. I mean, that's an incredible exceedance. Is the plant not designed at all to, well, obviously it's not designed to capture that much exceedance, but
well,
what's the fallback?
Yeah, I don't know what the peak flow capacity of the plant is. This says what the normal flows are.
Right.
And it says what the flow rates were that were coming into the plant.
Right.
Now, typically, a plant would have an average design flow, and it would have a peak wet weather flow capacity, which could be, you know, three times higher. This doesn't say what that is, but obviously they had a problem. There was a lot of flooding in South County, that is flooding of streets, not just the treatment plant. I can't talk specifically about what what's happened here for the reasons I said, but typically you'll get more inflow into the collection system from flooded manholes. Even though there are attempts to seal manholes, and especially in low-lying areas, those aren't always successful. So it's not good. It shouldn't happen. But there were actually, you know, homes and businesses that were flooded. So that means that manholes were underwater.
Well, what's our reaction, separate from an enforcement action, but I'm not even aware that this was a 50-year storm,
right,
or anything like that.
Right.
Which might be an excuse.
Yeah, so there's facilities have to be protected from a 100-year
right.
flood event typically, and I doubt very much this was a 100-year event. So, I mean, there are some things that are referenced here as far as problems that you know, shouldn't happen regarding the influent pumps getting shorted out
and
that sort of thing.
And that, to me, is just really unclear, because water and electrical conduits feeding the influent pumps caused one of the four influent pumps to short out. What kind of design are they using that, you know, this could happen?
That would be either poor design or poor maintenance.
You know, I think it's probably inappropriate to get to that level
okay.
of detail, because and wait and see what the enforcement staff does,
okay.
because that's getting into
well,
the facts.
Let's not talk about this
arguments.
Specific one. I'm just kind of curious. You know, and if you want to come back to us with something later, that would be
mm-hmm.
okay. But, I mean, this seems to happen from time to time with rainfall and water and flood.
Mm-hmm.
How come it repeats itself?
Right.
I mean, why aren't things waterproof? You know, you've got pumps, you've got water. It seems like this should not happen.
Right, and a standard provision, again speaking generically, is for an annual evaluation of the operation and maintenance plan. So that would be a factor with any discharger.
Is that something that we require?
Yeah, it's in the permits.
Okay.
It's a standard provision.
Okay.
And they have to report that in their annual report.
Okay. All right, so this should not happen. Should not happen.
I guess I can't say anything about this case, but I'm saying that's the procedure that we have generally for permits
okay.
to try to make sure that there's due diligence with not only the operations of the plant, but maintenance issues as well.
Okay. All right, so maybe we can revisit this later after the time passes for enforcement actions.
Right.
I just would like to find out what's happening here, that something seems to be, I mean, it appears it's like falling through the cracks somewhere. That's all. And I'm not trying to focus on any one particular discharger.
Right.
Because it's something that seems to pop up from time to time every winter.
Right.
Mr. Hayashi.
You know what? I was thinking about that. You know, it may not be a 50-year or 100-year storm, but maybe for that two or three-hour period, it could be equivalent to that 100-year storm. You know, because the rain did come. We got 1 year's worth of rain in
right.
3 days.
Okay. Any other board comments?
Was this going to come back to us?
Well, I think it is. I think Francis is trying to cut our wings off.
I understand.
Anything
but
specific, but
I think
Francis, how can the board get some information on how staff is generally handling these issues within these permits?
You can have a report on the general
okay.
topic.
All right.
And that's fine.
Mr. Brooks?
Yeah, it would be along the lines of what I was just talking about as far as what the standard provisions are for these permits. We can provide more specifics on that. Actually, you can. We have it in the Carpinteria permit that's in here in the standard provisions that the board adopted today as far as what the annual report requires for the operation and maintenance plans for each one of these facilities. It's standard language.
Okay. But we could maybe have you come back at another board meeting.
But Mr. Chair, I think each one of these that comes before us, we learn something new. And hopefully we can use that information on future permits to require future permittees to
do something
a little different with their design or whatever. Can we do that? You said it's kind of a boilerplate type of thing, or can we change that requirement?
Particularly with the permits, there's a standard format, but we actually have Central Coast region specific provisions as well. So we have the ability to do that.
Okay. Well, let's, if you can come back either the next board meeting or the one following it, whenever you can pull the stuff together, let's just have an informational item so the board can see what language is being inserted in these permits and find out what staff has been learning historically in their follow-up.
Right.
To these exceedances and failures.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. That's item 11. Let's move on to item 12. Mr. Briggs.
Just one other thought on the previous item. Ms. McChesney and I are not being coy in terms of holding back information. We're actually walled off from what the enforcement people are doing, so I don't know what they're doing. It's just like the board doesn't.
And I'm not trying to ask you what they're doing with these items.
Yeah, I just want to make sure folks are aware of that as well, that we advise the board and we don't direct the enforcement staff. So on to item 12.